questions about Christmas, funnily enough, this evening for you to discuss. The format is fairly informal. We have some questions that you guys can discuss around tables. We'll do a little bit of feedback now and again, and hopefully it will just get you thinking. It will get you engaging, and it will get you maybe thinking about the true and real meaning of Christmas as well. Now let me pray, and then we'll crack on. Heavenly Father, we pray now that as we come, as we think, and as we discuss, you'd help us. Lord, maybe if we're not used to speaking about Christmas with each other, or the real meaning of Christmas, or just not used to this setting, Lord, help us. And Lord, would you use this time to really just engage our hearts and our minds now. Lord, we pray. Amen. So I got the first two questions are real kind of icebreaker questions, and we'll get a little bit more serious. Hopefully by the end we'll hit serious. But the first question is this: what's the best or the worst gift you've ever received at Christmas? Let's just have a little chat in your groups. What's the best and the worst gift, or the worst gift you've received at Christmas? let's start wrapping that up. I'm sure there's not going to be any. There's going to be plenty of Christmas puns, many of them unintentional. I'm sure you could go on all night talking about some of your favourite, and maybe your maybe that's your strong point, your worst Christmas gifts that you got. Bearing in mind you are streaming on YouTube, anybody wants to just say to the world an example of the good, their best, their favourite, their best Christmas present? Put your hand up and it. Okay.
A massive space Lego set, best thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
Even now.
No, I mean, you know, my best is a Lego set, a massive castle that my brother then broke a few days later. Anybody else for best? Hand up. All right, okay, best, and then we'll go on to worst.
We've just got a new cat because I was feeling very bereft when we lost our cat a few weeks ago. So we've got a new cat, and I said to Matthew, when we paid for it, he's like, oh, I said, it's all right, I'll have it for Christmas. That's absolutely fine. And so that is the best present I could have.
Yeah. Matt can feel better. Yeah. Well, you don't need to buy another Christmas present now, so you're done. Worst. Anybody? Oh, they see the hands just pop up, don't they? Come on then.
Well, quite obviously, it would have to be a pair of socks.
Pair of socks. Yeah. True. Well, you can never have too many socks. Yeah. But no, I get that. Yeah. Anybody else?
Okay, one year, it was at the time when I was really, really into painting. I just loved painting. And there was this box wrapped up for me under the Christmas tree from Mike. which looked exactly like a box of oil paints. Maybe pastel, maybe water, but definitely paints. So I was so excited. I opened it up and it was cutlery. Really?
Yeah. Very good. Anybody else? Thomas?
Yep. One year I received a pair of microwave trays for cooking bacon. Why would anybody put bacon in the microwave when you can fry it, first off? And second, they didn't fit in the microwave!
Yeah. Maybe they were just encouraging you, maybe get in the kitchen a bit more, I don't know. A subtle hint from the mother. Anybody else? Right, that's fine. I'm at risk, so I don't embarrass my mum. I'm not going to say anything, but if you want to just ask me if some funny presents my mum have got me over the years, then feel free to do so afterwards. There is some hilarious ones. Okay, next question. It is, again, a little bit of a kind of an icebreaker, a little bit of a not a serious question. We all have traditions at Christmas, don't we? Each family has their own little unique tradition, something that they do. So the next question is, what's your weirdest Christmas tradition? Or if you don't have a weird Christmas tradition, maybe you've heard of somebody's weird Christmas tradition. What is the weirdest Christmas tradition that your family does, or you've heard somebody else do?
I'm going to go to the next one.
By sounds of the conversation, you've got a lot of weird Christmas traditions. Maybe one or two. Hands up, who wants to share? Logan seems to have a weird Christmas tradition he wants to share.
Yeah, so for many years, my family used to decorate our Hoover instead of a tree.
I think that might win it.
We sing Happy Birthday to Jesus every year without fail.
Right, okay. Anybody else from a different table? I mean, it wins. Logan wins, doesn't it? So we might as well just... should we just crack on, right? I'm sure you all love this lady. Fond memories in the 80s, Maggie Thatcher. Apparently, she said this. Christmas is a day of meaning and traditions, a special day spent in the warm circle of family and friends. And that's what it is for a lot of people, isn't it? It's a time of tradition where you spend time together with family and friends. Here's a few things we're familiar with at Christmas time. Next slide. They're on the table as well. The problem is that there's lots of traditions that some are unique, like Logan's, some that are more cultural, some that we all seem to do at Christmas time. And the difficulty is trying to figure out what is tradition when it comes to Christmas and what is true. And so this is going to disappear because the next question is going to go up, but you've got them on the table. Which things are part of the original Christmas story on that on those things you've got on your table, and which are just traditions? You've got some pencils. You could cross out what you think are just traditions and circle or tick what you think are true. Just have a few minutes of doing that, and then we'll see what you've got. Should we get to the reading? Yeah. Right, I wonder how you're getting on there. Wonder which ones you've ticked, that you're really confident that that's part of the true original Christmas story. Those you've definitely crossed out and those you're not so sure on. To help you, we're going to just read a little bit of one of the accounts of the Christmas story. There's two accounts of the Christmas story, one in Matthew's Gospel, one in Luke's Gospel. And we're just going to read a little bit of Luke's Gospel, the account in Luke's Gospel, just verses 1 to 20 of Luke 2. It'll be up on the screen for you. And maybe as I'm reading through, you could just start ticking when you see some of the words pop up. So in verse 1, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's a wonderful, true Christmas story. I wonder how many you've ticked there. You may need help if you don't know the Christmas story from others, from the Matthew's account, but let's just briefly go through them now. So from the top left, elf. Well, no. Yes, no. Well done. gold. Yes. Yes, that's in Matthew's account. The Magi bring what? Frankincense, yeah, frankincense. Manger, yes. Gifts, peace, saviour, pudding, holly, Mary, Santa, king, Messiah will do as king if you, but camel. No. Angel?
Yes.
Joy?
Yes.
Straw? Yes. What's in the manger with the baby? Not
hay.
No. It probably implied, yes, but what's actually in there? It's cloths, wrapped in cloths. That's what the baby was wrapped in. Probably a bit too prickly for. Anyway, where are we? Bethlehem.
Yes.
This is controversial. I've already heard this is controversial on this table. Donkey.
No.
it probably implied the journey. They may have gone with a donkey, but there's no mention of a donkey. And they did travel on foot, believe it or not, great distances back in the day. This one's fun. Stable. No. No. So the houses back in the time of Jesus, you would have a guest room, and then you would have the main room, which would also have a manger in it, at which the people would bring their animals in when it's cold to eat in the main room. Believe it or not, it's strange, but that's how it is. And a wooden stable is a very kind of British Western kind of nativity view of things that just wouldn't have been the case back in Jesus' day. Nazareth,
yeah. Yeah.
Joseph,
yeah.
Star,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shepherds,
yeah.
Snow,
yeah.
No. No to snow.
That
camel, reindeer?
No.
No, no reindeer. Jesus?
Yes.
Tree?
No. There probably were some.
There probably were some dotted around, yeah. Baby?
Yes.
Innkeeper?
No.
No. Turkey?
No.
Yeah.
Stocking?
No.
It's like tinsel?
No.
Carols?
No.
But there was singing, wasn't there?
Not sure there was singing.
The angels.
Doesn't say the angels sung.
Most they praise God and they said.
Well, okay.
I'm not sure angels
sing. So you see, don't you? You have to, when it comes to Christmas, you have to differentiate between the tradition, and some of it's okay tradition, some of it is what we'll do. You know, we've got a tree here, we're not anti-tradition. Some of us will have turkey on Christmas Day. But we have to differentiate between what is tradition when it comes to Christmas and what is true. And we can see what is true from reading the Bible, reading the gospel accounts. We've seen lots of things associated with Christmas then, here on this table. Lots of things that are part of the original story and some things that are just tradition. I want to imagine, you to imagine, if you can imagine, that somebody has never heard of Christmas before, and you've got three words to describe Christmas to someone. What three words would you use to describe Christmas? I said the questions were going to get a little bit more thoughtful and interesting, so just think about now, what three words would you actually use to describe Christmas? And I'm thinking mainly the true Christmas, but maybe your three words just become the tradition Christmas, but maybe have a talk and a conversation about that and try and come to some kind of consensus on your tables. No. You don't have to use the things on the table. This is three words that you can just think of that just really helps summarize Christmas.
I think it's
I think I've given you enough time to come up with three words that describe Christmas. Just kidding, this is going to be a real quick fire. So just going round, starting here.
We went for Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
I like it. No, that's good. Jesus-centered.
Jesus, Saviour, and joy.
Jesus, Saviour, joy. Matt.
We had God with us. Or if you're clever, you can just use that as one word and have Emmanuel.
So they didn't just have three words, they had a sentence, and that is good. If, as a sentence, God with us is a pretty good way of describing Christmas. God with us, wonderful, that's good. God become man, yeah, that's good. Jonathan, come on then.
God's free gift.
God's free gift, yeah, that's good, yeah. Yeah, God's indescribable gift. That's great. Who wants to go here?
Just pick one at random. Rescue plan arrived.
Rescue plan arrived. Yeah, that's good. At this table, I've got about 8 different options.
We had a few different ones, didn't we? But we had joy, which can be found in Jesus and also presents. So.
Okay. That's only 2.
Joy,
Jesus, presence, right, yeah, sorry, my mishearing. Right, that's really good. Some of those were brilliant. I love Jesus, 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 and God with us. Let me just briefly, when I was thinking about this, I went for real. The Christmas story is real. It's not something that is made up. Just to show this, Luke, in his first 3 verses of chapter 2, we read this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to the town to register. That's a bunch of historical information. It's in real time. It's not pulled out in some fairy tale lands. And so it's real. Christmas is real. And then the second word I thought of is Christ, because it is all about Jesus, isn't it? It's all about Christ, the Messiah, the King. We see this in the story here that we read. Do not be afraid, the angel says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, which is a word for King, for Christ. The Lord, this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Christmas is about Christ. I mean, it's Christmas, isn't it? And if we don't make Christmas about Christ, And certainly as a church, we're doing something wrong. But I would say to you, if you're not Christians, think about why we do Christmas. It is about Christ. Yeah, the gifts are lovely. Yeah, the food is wonderful. But at the end of the day, it's about Christ, isn't it? It's real Christ. And then the last word, some of you used this, joy. I think Christmas evokes a feeling, doesn't it? Brings up kind of a feeling. And I think that feeling, we not just read about, but if we think about and we think about what Christmas is about, it brings joy. I mean, we read about it, that in the verse. It's verse 10, do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. This is the joy. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Real Christ joy. That's what I want us to have this Christmas. We can have real Christmas joy, but in that real Christmas joy, let us have real Christ joy. I think when I was a cafe manager, that was a really good conversation to have, just generally. Just summarize Christmas in three words. Maybe if you're stuck for conversation at the dinner table on Christmas Day, you can use that one and see what happens. And of course, one of our favorite carols when we talk about joy is the carol Joy to the World, where we have this, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Real Christ joy. That is what we want, isn't it? That is what Christmas offers. Real Christ joy. The last question, and it's based it off one of my favorite carols. Can anybody guess what my favorite carol is? I've mentioned it before. No, not Away in a Manger. Hannah knows it, so she can't say it. Anybody? No? No, I mean, it's up there. It's Hark the Herald. No, my favorite one is Not a Silent Night, O Holy Night. I love O Holy Night. And there's a few... Dennis can't stand it. That's all right, Dennis. But I think you'll agree with me. These words are wonderful. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. That's a wonderful few lines. And the last question is the most serious question I want you to discuss. Is based on that verse, what does Jesus offer to a weary world? What does Jesus offer to a weary world? Have a few minutes talking about that.
I mean, just before
Start wrapping up. I should I should have said at the beginning that there are mince pies and Leverkusen. The Leverkusen went quickly, and I saw that Matt had a whole tub. I don't know whether
he
had... Okay. There was only one, but there's loads of mince pies left, so feel free to have a mince pie. But before you do, let's try and answer this together. Maybe one table, a representative from one table, wants to give it a crack. Mike,
we went for the answers that were actually on the sheet. We won extra. We said people want peace of mind. They want joy, and they need hope.
Yep.
And we went for those three.
I think that's really good. I mean, can anybody really?
We said that Jesus is a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.
Colin's got that on his mind because he's preaching that on Sunday morning. That's a little plug if you want to hear that preached. This Sunday morning at 10:30, Colin will be preaching it. Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? I think, what does Jesus offer to a weary world? I think, Mike, yeah, you're right. Peace, hope, joy, rest. Because he is the Saviour that was born, the King that has come. He is the one that everybody needs. As Matthew says in his account, verse 21, why do we call him Jesus? Because he will save his people from their sins. And that is why you can have hope. That is why you can have peace. And that is why you can have joy. So this Christmas, I want us to have real Christ joy. Because Christmas offers, or Jesus offers, hope, peace, and joy, because he is our Saviour and he is our King. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming. Thank you very much for chatting and being willing to talk and then offer some feedback. And it's been really helpful just hearing everybody's answers and the way that you've been speaking. It's been really encouraging. Let me just say, we've got various Christmas events this Christmas. We've got our Christmas community party here on Saturday between 4 and 6. We've got an all-age nativity service on the 24th here at 10:30, and then we've got a Christmas Day service here at 10:30. And if you like this kind of thing, table talk, we have them every second Sunday evening. And in January, we're going to talk about what it looks like to love God. So that's a nice big subject to get our teeth into in the new year. Let me pray and then we'll wrap up. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus offers to a weary world peace, joy, and hope because he is our Saviour, because he is our King, because he has come to save his people from their sins. And Lord, we pray that this would be in the hearts and minds of everyone that we love, that we come into contact with, that we have conversations with, everyone in this room. Lord, that we would know real Christ joy this Christmas. And that you would help us to talk about Jesus this Christmas, so that people would know him to be their Saviour and their King. Amen.